most of us are going to live on this earth about 80, 90 years. You know, compared to eternity, that's not a lot of time. 80 years is minuscule compared to the trillions and trillions and trillions of years you're going to spend on the other side of death. You see, you were made to last forever. And the Bible tells us that this life is preparation for the next. And what God wants you to do on this earth is to practice now what you're going to do forever in eternity. Now, what I've just told you is part of what's called God's worldview. God's worldview for you is found in the Bible. It's not found in politics. It's not found on the television. It's not found in magazines. It's found in the Word of God. And that's why every day here on Daily Hope, we're looking at God's Word to discover God's worldview for you. When you have a clear worldview, you're going to have the life God intended for you to live. That frame of reference, your worldview, is built on beliefs. Your beliefs can be built on the truth or they can be built on lies. When you build your life on the Word of God, you're always building on truth. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview with part one of a message called What's the Solution? Taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, Pastor Rick.
You know, when I get weeds in my yard, I don't just go out and just, you know, cut them off with a pair of scissors. I pull them out by the root. If I just cut off the symptom, they're going to grow right back. And a lot of the problems in your life, in your family, in your career, in our nation, and in the world, we tend to treat them as symptoms, and we just cut off the problem at the top, but the root is still there, and so they just keep growing back and back. Now, on your handout, I've listed seven popular approaches to dealing with problems in the world. And as I go through these real quickly, you're going to recognize every one of them. The first one is the political approach. You're all familiar with that, which is basically solve the world's problems by passing laws and creating policies. Solve the world's problems through politics. And the truth is, a lot of people genuinely believe that government, not God, is the answer to the human condition. And I've been in a number of different meetings. You take God out of the picture, basically all you've got left is politics. And they think that government, not God, is the solution. And we just need better laws. I call this salvation by legislation. The only problem is you can't force anybody to change. A law has never changed anybody, anywhere, anytime. It may cause you to conform to behavior, but a law has never changed a belief. It's never changed an attitude. It's never changed character. It's never changed a prejudice. You have to deal with something much deeper inside a human being than simply create a law. And so salvation by legislation is not the ultimate answer to the problems in the world. Then the second one is the educational approach. And that basically says, you know, all of the problems in the world are a result of ignorance. And if we could just get everybody educated, everybody taught, everybody learned, then the world would be a better place. Now, of course, we believe in education. Part of the peace plan is to help eliminate illiteracy all around the world. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but 90% of all the schools ever created in history were started by Christians, including places like Harvard and Yale and Princeton. Christianity and Judaism are educational religions, and they've started more schools than anything in history. In fact, 90% of all the hospitals in the world were started by Christians somewhere around the world, usually the first one in every nation. So obviously we believe in education, but we don't believe in salvation by education, because the reality is education's not enough. There are a lot of terrorists, and there are a lot of tyrants, and there are a lot of criminals, and there are a lot of dictators who are highly educated. And you can be educated, but it doesn't change your character. So it's not getting to the root. The third approach is what I call the material or the financial approach to the world's problems. And these are people who see everything in the world in economic terms, as if every problem has an economic solution. Now, of course, economics matters, but it is a surface issue. It doesn't deal with the root of human behavior. And in the educational, or the, excuse me, the material of the financial approach, the idea is we just need to help people earn more. And I would call this salvation by compensation. You know, if we just had everybody wealthier, and of course, as Christians, we believe in eliminating poverty. It's part of the peace plan, assisting the poor. Now, there are two different primary versions of salvation by compensation, or the material approach to the world's problem. There's socialism and there's capitalism. Socialism basically says we're going to take all of the money and put it in a pool, and then we'll redistribute it equally, and we're going to take a little bit of yours and give it to somebody who has a little bit less. And then capitalism says, no, we believe in free market enterprise, and we believe in entrepreneurship, and that in creating the freedom for people to start businesses, they will naturally use their own God-given creativity to better their economic income. Well, the bottom line is, just helping people get more money does not solve all the problems in the world. I know a lot of people, I told you last week, who are, I call them FRMs, famous, rich, and miserable. And having a lot of money does not solve all your problems. If it did, the people who are wealthiest would be the happiest in the world, and that's just not true. Then we have another approach to the world's problems, which I call the psychological approach. And that is, you know, what we need to do is just help people change the way they feel about themselves. And we need to help them deal with their past and deal with their relationships and deal with their self-esteem, and I would call this salvation by actualization. As if the whole goal of life is just to take all the stress out of your life. It's not. You were made for more than just to live a stress-free life. You were made for more than happiness. You were created for a purpose. You were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life isn't going to make sense. Then there's the sociological approach to the world's problems, which says, let's change all the social structures of society, and if we do that, then everything will be great. And at the beginning of the 20th century, there were a lot of social activists who genuinely believed, even Christians, that if you just change the social structures of society, then things will naturally get better. And after the 20th century, where we had more people died, more people killed, the Holocaust of 6 million Jews, and so many evil things in the world, people realized that there's a deeper issue than just the social structures. Salvation by association. And then there's the biological approach, which is, well, we're just going to focus on the human body, and we're going to create the perfect human body. And there are a lot of exciting applications today taking place in science and biology, and there's, you know, the gene mapping and the genome project and DNA, and people are learning things about stem cells, and they're even doing this stuff about cloning. All these people trying to create the perfect body or the perfect human specimen, biotechnology. And the goal here of biology is a pill for every problem. In other words, it's salvation by medication. And you know, you got a problem with this, we've got a pill for it. You got a problem for that, we've got a pill for it. And that every problem can be solved by a pill or a procedure. You know, you could actually add a salvation by technology, salvation by innovation, the technological approach. I've been to a lot of conferences just recently, been invited to speak at them, hearing about exciting developments in technology. But as much as I believe in the internet, it's not the savior of mankind. As much as I believe in technological innovation, innovation is not salvation. Now, each of these things that I just went through very quickly, they have a role, and they have an important role, but they don't get to the root cause of all the problems on the planet. And they don't deal with human beings directly. The bottom line is this: you have to change the hearts of people. But if there's going to be any long-term change, the biblical approach is God's way, changing the hearts. That's salvation by transformation. And God specializes in that, in changing prejudiced people into loving people, and hateful people into kind people, and self-centered people into unselfish people. No law will ever teach people how to love. Only God can do that. You have to have salvation by transformation, and it starts in the hearts.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called, What's the Solution? from the series Reframing Your Worldview. We'll continue with more in just a moment, but first, please be sure to check out rickwarren.org, where you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. You know, thousands of folks just like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails every day. So why not sign up and be encouraged? And while you're at rickwarren.org, you can listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store, which is packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. Pastor Rick will be back with more Daily Hope in just a moment.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick Warren.
There's an old story about a father who, his son was bored on a rainy day and they didn't have any games and he didn't know what to do. And so he found a picture of a map inside a magazine, a map of the world. And he took this map of the world, pulled it out, and then he cut up the map of the world in little tiny pieces and put it on the table. And he said, you know, put this all together. He thought that'll keep him busy, you know, putting the world all together. And, you know, about 15 minutes later, the son came back and he had it all taped all together with a scotch tape and the map of the world was perfect. And he goes, this is a young kid. He goes, how did you do that? How'd you put it together so fast? And he said, well, you know, Dad, on the back page, on the back of that map was a picture of a man. And he said, you know what? When I got the man put together, the world fit too. It starts in the heart. And the fact is, only changed hearts can change the world. Only changed people can change the world. So that's why today we're going to look at what changes the heart. What makes the changes in me that can make a change in the world? Now, because we live in a fallen world, a broken planet, human beings have heart diseases. Now, I'm not talking about physical heart diseases. I'm not talking about having plaque in your arteries. I'm talking about spiritual heart diseases. And as I've traveled all around the world, I have found that there are many, many universal heart diseases. You can find them in every culture, every single culture. Now, I don't have time to go into them all today, but let me just give you 5. I want you to write these down. 5 common universal heart diseases. And then the symptoms that we see in human beings when they have this disease in the heart. The first common human heart disease is guilt. It's guilt. And the reason it's guilt is because nobody's perfect. I blow it, you blow it. I don't measure up to my own standards, much less God's. And so we walk around with guilt. Now, it is impossible to be happy and guilty at the same time. It's impossible to feel good about yourself and bad about yourself at the same time. So because many people live with guilt, the symptom is many people feel worthless. They feel worthless. And it is guilt that causes that feeling of worthlessness in their lives. The Bible says this in Psalm 40, verse 12. It's up here on the screen. David says, you know, I was so swamped by guilt, I couldn't see my way clear. I had more guilt in my heart than hair on my head. That's not hard for some of us. And it was so heavy, guilt was so heavy that my heart gave out. You can't feel good and guilty at the same time. And so a lot of people feel worthless. Here's a second problem, common heart disease, compulsion. Compulsion. And when I talk about compulsion, it's this. There are things in your life that you know are not good for you, but you do them anyway. And there are things in your life that you know would be good for you, but you don't do them. Now, you may not call these addictions, but they are. And every one of us have compulsions in our lives that you habitually act in self-defeating ways. You do it all the time. And you act in ways that defeat relationships, and you act in ways that defeat your health, and you act in ways that defeat your happiness, and they are compulsions. And as a result of this, you say, I'd like to change, but I can't. There are a lot of things that I would like to do, but I don't. There are things that I know would be good for me, like exercise. How many of you know exercise would be good for you? Yeah. And how many of you wish you did it more? Yeah. I'm not going to ask how many of you do it. The bottom line is that we know the right thing, but we don't always do it. And we feel powerless to change. That's a symptom. The symptom is many people feel powerless. They not only feel worthless because of guilt, they feel powerless because of the compulsions, the habitual actions in their life that they can't seem to change. I want to read a fairly extended passage out of Scripture to you. It's in Romans chapter 7. It says this up here on the screen. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. This is Paul talking. God's command is necessary, but I need something more. In other words, just knowing the right thing to do doesn't help me change. I need some power. I feel powerless to change it. For I know the law, that's God's law, but I still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. And I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. This is like, I'd like to go on a diet, but I can't stay on it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. Or I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. Are any of you relating to this mildly? Okay. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. You know, most New Year's resolutions are, studies have shown, are let go within 17 days. Okay, my decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, that's a heart problem, and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? In other words, how can I change? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In a moment, Rick will share a closing thought, but first, visit us online at rickwarren.org. Log on today, and you can get today's entire message, the message series, get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. So log on now at rickwarren.org. Also, we want to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a really powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. As Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book, Chuck was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life. And Chuck Colson brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? What does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today. 1-800-600-5004. And if you could, please consider giving just a little more today to help support this program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners like you, so we really appreciate your gifts, your prayers, calls, emails. We'd love to hear your testimonies and more. And we'd also like the chance to pray for you. So give us a call today at 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Many years ago, I was speaking at a small church out in the desert in Southern California. And at the end of the service, a young girl walked up to me, and there was tension in her face. And I just looked at her, and I said, what can I do for you?
And she said, I just feel so dirty. And I looked at her and I said, you know what? Jesus Christ can wipe out all the things you feel guilty about in an instant if you'll trust him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I call that the soap bar verse of the Bible. God says, you're dirty, you can be cleaned. You know, we often try to clean up our act ourselves. It doesn't work. And we might try to put on makeup, but underneath we still feel our hearts are carrying the guilt and the shame of things we've done in the past, things that we've done to others that we feel guilty about, and things that others have done to us that we feel resentment about. I remember looking at this young girl, and I said to her, do you know the Bible says Jesus Christ died on the cross so I could say these three words to you? You are forgiven. You know, I think those three words are the words most of the world is waiting to hear. You are forgiven. I believe that even if there was no such thing as heaven, it would be worth it to begin a relationship with Christ, to accept what he did for me on the cross, just for the privilege of having a clear conscience. Now, I don't know where you are as you listen to this message right now, but I will tell you this. Your guilt can go. You can be set free from your guilt. You can be liberated from it. There is no reason for you to carry that garbage around in your life anymore. I'm going to pray a soap bar prayer right now, where we're going to let God cleanse your mind and cleanse your heart and set you free from that shame that you've been carrying for all these years. So just pray this prayer. You don't even have to close your eyes, but as I pray it, you say it too. Dear God, you know all the things I've done. You know the things that nobody else knows I've done. You know my innermost secrets. You know the things I'm most ashamed of. You know the things that haunt me. You know the things in my closet that I don't want anybody else to know about. And yet, Father, you still love me. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Jesus Christ, for coming to die on the cross for my sins, the sins that haunt me, the sins that torment me. Thank you that you died, that you paid for those sins. And so today I give you all of those sins in my life. And I ask you to clean me. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to keep your promise where you said in the Bible, if I confess my sins, then you'll be faithful and just to forgive them. So Lord, I confess to you right now the sin of, and I want you to say that sin, I confess to you the sin of, and just say that sin. And I accept your forgiveness today. And I ask you to not only to forgive me, but help me to forgive myself and help me to let go of it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer, God heard you. And if you really meant it, you are forgiven. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says in the book of Romans, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. So if you feel guilty about a sin that you've just confessed to God and you still feel guilty about it, I want to tell you this. That guilt is not from God. That guilt, that shame is from the devil. And you need to say, Satan, get out of my life, because he is the accuser of the brethren. Once you have been forgiven, you don't have to keep coming back and asking God to forgive you over and over and over. It's forgiven. Now what do? Every time Satan brings it up, here's what you do. You thank God you've been forgiven. When he reminds you, you say, you're right, and I'm forgiven. And when he brings it up again, you're right, and I'm forgiven. And you know what will happen? Sooner or later, Satan's going to stop bringing it up. Because if every time he reminds you of something you've done wrong, you remind him of how you've been forgiven, he doesn't want you praising God, so he'll stop. I hope this has helped you today. Let me know about the forgiveness in your life. Write to me, rick@rickwarren.org. Share your story with me. And be sure to join me next time as we continue in God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.